Some enrollment, no obligation to enroll.
Number one news for Vernon, Farmington, and South Windsor. The talk of Connecticut. AM 1360 and FM 103.3.
I've asked this question in the past, and you may just think, oh, he's just, you know, asking a rhetorical question. I'm very serious when I ask this, and I'll ask it to you again. Who can take better care of your children or grandchildren, for that matter? And not just better care, who can discuss, I guess, personal issues better? Now, I know every family dynamic is different. Believe me, I'm sensitive to that, and I'm not naive. I remember growing up, and there were, you know, not close friends, but friends that I'd have on my, maybe the outer circle, who didn't have a great relationship with their parents, you know. And I get it. You know, it's an awkward conversation, oftentimes uncomfortable situation. If you wanted to talk about your sexuality, we really didn't talk about our gender back then, you know, or other things, you know, about school or if you're having a difficult time in life or you're being bullied, let's say. And it's sad. Not all families are perfect where kids can approach their parents. Make no mistake. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, like serious issues that may be going on in a child's life. Would you want to know about it? Not only would you want to know about it, but the other question is, would you want your child or grandchild to come to you with any problem? And who do you think can remedy that problem better, you or the school system? Now, if you're saying to yourself, well, it depends on what the issue is. If it's school-oriented, I'm sure there's programs and plans in place to remedy the situation. But what if it's of a personal nature? Good morning. It's Gary Byron, 12 minutes after 7 o'clock here on this hump day. Glad to have you on board the old morning train. Our first guest into the daily Connor Tim Memorial Company interview chair is the chairwoman of the Farmington Valley Moms for Liberty. We've had her on a number of times. And she's also brought along the national director of Moms for Liberty. Let's welcome back to the show Manju Gerber and Jessica Graham. Jessica, Manju, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Thank you for having us.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for being with us.
Great.
So there's a few different questions that I have for each of you. Manju, there's a couple of bills that are still sitting in the legislature. I don't know if they got voted out of committee. We'll address those in just a few minutes. But generally speaking, I just posed a question. Who do you think and why? I not only want your answer, I want you to support your answer as far as a child, maybe it's someone's son or daughter or grandson or daughter, and they've got an issue, let's say, about identity, you know, and who's better to help with this issue, the school system or parents?
Oh, definitely the parents. Or at least a trusted family member. You know, you're right, as you said before, some kids, unfortunately, do not have the appropriate structure of a family unit.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always going to be someone in that family that's willing to help them out. Maybe an older sibling or a grandparent, as you were saying. But the children are always known by the parents, the best. I think ethics just family relations are usually part of that family unit. And the school system and the state have no place in co-parenting with a parent. And I can support that because who knows your child the best but the parent?
Sure, sure. But let's just say that a child doesn't exactly have an easy or comfortable relationship with their parents, or maybe, sadly, not a relationship at all with their parents, other than the fact that, you know, they live in their house and have dinner with them and live under their roof, but really, other than that, have no interaction with them. I know you said family members. I don't know. Let's just come up with a scenario where maybe there are no immediate family members that they feel. Maybe there are none, or maybe there's none that they feel comfortable approaching. What are the options that a child then has?
Well, they could. I mean, if they have an older sibling, that's one. If they have a close relative, that's another. And also, you cannot just depend. I mean, I would love to say a guidance counselor at school, or maybe the school nurse, but now it's so precarious, that relationship, that it can easily delve into a rabbit hole that no one really wants to go into if you're a parent.
Well, whether you're a guidance counselor or a nurse, you're an employee of the Board of Education,
exactly,
of the school system, you know, so they may have orders to push them in one direction, even if it goes against that nurse's or guidance counselor's personal moral compass or their, you know, of their own beliefs, you know. I mean, you often don't want to, you know, defy the people that sign your paycheck every week. So oftentimes they're kind of forced, you know, into the protocols already established within their district. I'm trying to understand why the school all of a sudden, because it didn't do this when I was in school. Granted, that was many moons ago. But why the school system feels it must interject itself in personal family matters? Is it because of the scenario that I just posed, where not everybody has a family dynamic where they're comfortable enough to approach them on something that's very personal and sensitive? Is that the reason why? Or help me make heads or tails of this, either one of you.
I think, Jessica, I don't know if you want to go. I'll just say this really quickly. I feel that, you know, in those types of scenarios, I think when I was growing up, there was a school nurse or a guidance counselor that you could talk to and trust without all of this, you know, dominant conversation of, oh, why is it do you feel this way? Is it your identity of your gender? I mean, it steers in that path now. And it's a very dangerous tipping point, I feel.
Jessica, as the program director of the National Moms for Liberty, are there programs that are either in place or that you're actively working on for this type of scenario?
On the national level, we do have a program that works with each state that has chapters in it to develop a legislative committee, a state-level legislative committee. And so what that committee would do is work on legislation such as what, you know, Manju is dealing with, that helps them kind of navigate these waters. Because this is not typically an area where a lot of people have experience, but we're being faced with bills such as this where, you know, they're taking, and I apologize, I don't know a lot about the specific bill that you're dealing with, but you know, dealing with the transparency issues with the schools and parents. So what we like to do is have the chapters all work together and develop relationships with their legislators and work towards agreeable bills that will not allow the schools to hide information from parents.
Yeah.
Because ultimately parents have the right to, you know, to be in control of the upbringing and development of their children.
Yeah, I didn't bring any specific bills into the conversation yet. We'll get to those in just a moment. I was just wondering, you know, on a national level, you know, you deal with so much. I'm just wondering if you guys are working, if there's a plan already in place, or maybe a better question than Jessica is. What is the purpose? Let's start with it. How did the Moms for Liberty get created, and for what purpose is it trying to serve?
So Moms for Liberty was started by Tina Deskovich and Tiffany Justice. They're both prior school board members, and they saw, they like to say they saw behind the educational curtain and saw that there was something going on. So the mission that they are focused on is that we are dedicated to fighting for the survival of America by unifying, educating, and empowering parents to defend their parental rights at all levels of government.
Okay.
So we focus on teaching our moms and dads and grands and everybody who wants to be involved because they know something's going on to protect their parental rights, and we try to develop resources to help them do that.
Before I bring in, I'll take a break in just 1 minute, and then we'll start talking about a couple bills specifically in the Connecticut legislature. Let me ask you, Jessica, since you're on the national level, are you hearing about issues like nationwide where school systems are trying to usurp parents, really, in raising children?
Yes, honestly, we are seeing it all over the country. There's, you know, transparency issues in states all over the country where our chapters are battling these legislatures that are trying to pass bills that remove the transparency element from, you know, the schools having to notify parents about major issues happening with their children. It's as you said, it was never happening previously, and all of a sudden it's an issue.
All right. Well, I got to take a break right here. When we come back, mind you, I'm going to I'm going to discuss two bills that right now, as far as I know, I don't believe they're killed, are before the legislature that have to do with this topic. Coming right back. Stay with us.
When shopping for appliances, where do you stop first? A big box store? They might be your first stop, but Ferrari's Appliance will be your last. From laundry to dishwashers, stoves to refrigerators, Ferrari's Appliance has all the name brands at the price you can afford. And they install and service everything they sell. Enough with the pushy salespeople and impersonal customer service. Head to Ferrari's Appliance in Newington or Naugatuck and discover why people from all over choose them over everyone else. Online at Ferrari'sAppliance.com.
Progressive asks, what do a late night pizza craving?
Pizza place.
Can I get one large pepperoni pizza?
A newly licensed teen delivery driver. A guaranteed delivery time or its free offer. And your front fence have in common?
Uh-oh.
It's my fence!
They can turn your stomach upside down in under 30 minutes.
I'm still getting a tip, right?
Bundle your home and auto with Progressive for great savings and round-the-clock protection.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Gary Byron and Joe the producer have the pulse of Hartford. 103.3 and Litchfield, 104.5.
23 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock, our guest this morning is the chairwoman of the Farmington Valley Moms for Liberty, mind you, Gerber, as well as the program director of the National Moms for Liberty, Jessica Graham. Mind you, there are a couple of bills. I'll read what they are that are before the legislature right now. One is a Senate bill SJ4, a resolution proposing a state constitutional amendment concerning discrimination on the basis of sex under the Equal Protection Clause. Wow. Okay, so let's discuss the language of that bill. I'm sure you're very familiar with it.
Oh, yeah. I actually handed testimony in most of these bills, and they have been voted out of committee. SJ4 was voted out of the Government Administration and Elections Committee. Basically, you know, what they're trying to do is say that boys or trans women should compete with girls in girl sports. And they're also trying to, I think, in some ways, if you read the language of this bill, say that you cannot give discriminatory actions towards someone who is identifying as a male going into a female space.
How does that affect?
Whether it be a bathroom, locker room, shower, public showers, you name it.
Mind you, how does that affect Title IX?
Okay, so basically what the Biden administration wants to do is that they want to turn men into champions in women's sports. So even though Title IX gives equal opportunity for biological women with biological men, and it's basically saying you cannot have equal, it's basically denying equal access then if you're going to basically use Title IX to defend trans women in girl sports.
So what will...
Does that make any sense
to you? Yeah, what will this result in, Manju?
Oh, my God. I mean, it would be erasing the female sex. And I don't even think I'm exaggerating here. I'll tell you why. Because, you know, young girls, they spend hours at a time with their blood, sweat, and tears trying to fine-tune their athletic skills. And you have a boy or a man coming with greater bone density, muscle mass, even cardiovascular capacity than girls, they're always going to have that advantage over women. And all of a sudden, you're going to erase girl sports from biological girls. And that is unfair.
Are we heading in a direction of unisex sports where... there is no more.
I don't know if it's unisex or not, but I know that someone like, for example, Lee.
Hello? Mind you, we're losing you.
Championship against Riley Gaines.
You're going to have to start all over, mind you. We lost you. I don't know if you're on a cell phone, but or if you're driving.
Yeah, I am on a cell phone. Sorry about that. No, I was just talking about, for example, I was giving an example of Leah Thomas.
Okay, you're right.
NCAA swimming championship. He was scoring at a number of 462 as a male swimmer. And then he rockets up to number one in the female swimming sport. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just underlies the entire situation and crisis we have right now with having these trans women competing with biological girls.
I have a feeling there's going to be no more men's basketball and girls' basketball. It'll just be basketball. Because that seems to be, you know, if I understand the language of that bill, that's what it sounds like. I've only got about 2 minutes remaining, so I need to get to the next bill. An act establishing the job expansion tax credit program. That sounds kind of vague.
I'm not familiar with that one. The other ones that I do know that's out for a vote out of the committee is 5417, which is the public school library books and the removal of them. It's basically tying the hands of parents to tell the Board of Education, their local Board of Education, that a certain book should not be in their public school library. Not in a public library, but a public school library.
Well, like,
and
what kind of book?
It's up to the librarians to basically say, or the state, really, to say if that book will be removed or not.
So what kind of a sexually oriented book?
Well, the Supreme Court made a decision in 1982 that came down and said that if you have a book that is pervasively vulgar and of non-educational value, yes, you can remove that book immediately from the public school library.
Well, not only is that not happening, if anything, they're adding to it in these libraries, these children's libraries or school libraries.
Including drag show story time hour.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, ladies, thank you very much for your time this morning. Again, Manju Gerber, the chairwoman of the Farmington Valley Moms for Liberty, as well as Jessica Graham, the program director for the National Moms for Liberty. Appreciate your time. Thanks for your hard work.
Thank you.
You got it.
Thank you, Gary.
A pleasure. All right, when we come back, it's open phones. I see all our lines open. I would love to hear from you on any of the discussions that we've had this morning or maybe have yet to have. Stay right there.
Do not necessarily represent the views of ACL.
Number one for breaking news for Vernon, Farmington, and South Windsor. The Talk of Connecticut. AM 1360 and FM 103.3.
I hope by now you've downloaded our app. It's free. Whether you have the Droid And you have the, just go to the Google Play Store and type in Talk of Connecticut. And if you've got an Apple iPhone, go to the Apple App Store and download it. Again, free either way. And we've got actually one of the best apps of all the family of full power radio stations. I just thought I'd say that.
We're fancy.
You can interact with us live during the show, too. People often do.
Oh, I love that. I love when people comment.
Good morning. It's Gary Byron, 8:11 after, 8:11. Look, jeez, what's this? We're already at halftime.
Lying.
Our next guest into the Daily Connerton Memorial Company interview chair is doing his show right now, as we do ours. It's Welcome Lee Elsie.
Hi, Gary. Hi, Joe. How are you guys?
Well, listen to you. I can't even hear myself in my headphones anymore.
Why not?
I don't know, man. Every time, I think it's the Comrex.
I don't think we're using a Comrex, but that's all right.
I thought we were.
I think we're using something called the brick.
Yeah, the brick.
Is that a Comrex?
Yeah, I believe that is.
Yeah.
It's both the same thing.
I would have. You know what? I'm gonna radio disagree with you guys on that one.
Okay.
To be honest with you,
we'll have to get somebody who's
much more versed in this to break that down.
Scott.
We should have a segment called Ask Scott.
Oh man,
he would love that.
Yeah. Because you know what? I'd like to ask him right now. I've got the cable went out in the studio, and I like a moron for the last 3 days. I've been trying to get it to work, and it's not working.
What cable? Cable for what?
The cable. We have television in here. So the cable for the television went out. And, I've been trying for 3 days to make it work, and I just can't get it
to
work.
See, we have it as well. Now, what do you have on your TV monitor? What do you
Right now?
Yeah.
Snow.
No, I don't mean. Yeah, I know, because your cable went out. When the cable's not out.
Usually Fox News.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, Fox.
Yeah. I mean, and people come in. And actually, it's funny, because I do have 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 5 TVs in the studio. By the way, 3 of them are mine that I brought. So, when I get booted out of here, I'm taking 3 of these TVs with me. But they're all hooked into the same cable, so it looks like there's an explosion of Fox.
Yeah.
But I'm just, I'm trying to give you the ambiance of a technical paradise.
I think we'll have a few TVs when we get into our new studio. But right
now,
it's a
good idea.
Beggars can't be choosers here.
So you have one, though, in yours right now.
One, yeah.
There will be at least 2 in the new studio. I was checking it out the other day.
You got to try
a third mounted.
You have to try to get it so there's multiple channels. That's just advice from me. It'd be a good idea if you can do that.
I'm writing it down now.
No, because it gives you it's a bigger feel if you've got like a couple of different stations on. Don't you think?
You feel more important?
No, I just think that people come in and there's all kinds of different places to look, and they'll be looking instead of just looking at the same.
All right, so are you going to have one on MSNBC, one on CNN, or are you going to keep one on and one on Fox? Are you going to diversify your messaging and your news sources?
I have 5 of them, so I would have one on Fox, one on CNN, one on the Playboy Channel, one on ESPN, and something like that.
I see you have your priorities right.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I like how he snuck that Playboy Channel.
One after one, something like that.
Yeah, that's not just cable, by the way, when you get Playboy Channel.
I don't know. Do they even have that channel anymore?
I haven't.
I bet you they don't.
Do they even? I don't think they have Playboy Magazine anymore.
I don't know the answer to that.
Didn't they go to all swimsuits like a few years ago, and then their subscriptions tanked after that? So I don't know.
I don't know. But I don't think, does anybody read magazines anymore? I don't even think they do.
You know what? That's a great point. I think the whole magazine industry, it's all online now.
Yeah.
As much as I go online, actually I don't even go online as much as I used to. I can't read online, like on my handheld device, like on your phone.
I know.
It's just so small.
Yeah.
And if I'm outdoors, let's say as the weather gets nicer, I got to go out. I'm either at a beach or, the way the sun hits it, I'm like, I can't even see the screen.
I agree. I think people that read like full books online, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. I'm with you.
Remember those Kindles?
Yeah, I do.
Go out and buy Kindles.
Yeah. Gentlemen, newsflash for both of you. The Playboy Channel is now online, playboychanneltv.com. And the magazine might not be in print, but you can still look at the photos.
Playboy.com. But Lee Elsie he subscribed to it for the articles.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Great
of course.
Articles.
Absolutely. Writing is brilliant.
Actually,
brilliant.
I got to tell you something. The interviews were outstanding.
Yeah. With the...
Every month it was so
Playmates?
Different. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah, on their worksheet,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
My ambitions, world peace,
Yeah, it's so funny. Oh man, that's great.
What are you talking about down in Ledyard this morning?
Today I've been a little off so far today. So the first 2 hours have been almost a throwaway. Believe it or not, we had great calls earlier on. We were talking about racism, things like that.
That always seems to pop up. Yeah.
It always pops up, right?
Jeez.
I mean, you know, it's always in some kind of a fad or some kind of a vogue. I can't think of the word I'm thinking of. But
you're going right for the jugular, man. It's like, that's a light morning. We're just talking racism.
I'm just curious if Cliff, when he calls you, talks about the same thing when he calls me. My guess is he probably does, right?
He calls you every morning, doesn't he?
Yeah, Black Jesus and all that stuff. Yeah,
talks to us about economics.
Yeah,
it's really different. Yeah,
Euclidean.
Splitting atoms, things like that.
Yeah.
Hey, that makes sense.
Hey, let me ask you, what color do you think Jesus was?
I always say whatever color you want him to be, Cliff. Whatever makes you happy. Whatever puts a smile on your face. If I die and I'm in heaven and you know Jesus is black, I'm gonna hug him the same, man. Right?
Amen.
That's I'm gonna hug him the same.
Hey,
big,
how was your
hug.
Easter, brother? Do you have a nice day?
I was all right. You? Are you a religious guy?
Sure.
I mean, do you celebrate Easter religiously? Do you go to church?
I did. Yes.
You did? Good for you, man.
I have Christmas. Of course, man.
Good for you.
Lifeway Church, Berlin Turnpike, Newington.
Now, Lifeway Church, what's the, what,
it's
do you mind
it's
me?
A, it's a Christian church.
It's a Christian.
It's a Bible-based church, right. Sure. Yeah.
You go up and get the, you know, you get the old.
Communion?
Communion, yeah.
I take communion, sure.
All right, good. You ever think people are watching you when you go up there?
I'm not that conscious. Whether they stare at me or not. I can't imagine that they will. Why would they? Why?
I'm just curious if you know you're self conscious. Do you go with the hand, you know, the wafer in the hand or in the mouth?
Oh, the hand.
That changed a couple of years ago, right?
Well, yeah, I think COVID really changed a lot of that.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that they're back to full capacity. A lot of these churches were you know starving. Yeah. People were watching online. But
yeah. Well, you know what's interesting? Since you bring that up, I did talk about something that I thought was interesting this morning about there's a new study. Wall Street Journal had a piece out where the growing number of people who believe in spirituality and God but don't go to church is exploding. And I was just curious what you thought about that.
We actually had that discussion last week. I had Pastor Joel Rissinger on, and Father Ed Nadalny called in, and I think this was last Friday, on Good Friday. First of all, what's spiritual but not religious? Because you meet somebody, hey, how are you celebrating Easter this year? You know, are you going to go to church? Well, I'm spiritual but not religious.
Right.
I could never figure that one out. What does that mean?
Well, maybe you are believing in a God, but don't necessarily want to tether yourself to a church or a specific type of a religion. Maybe because you feel like mankind is flawed and you don't believe in some of the stuff that goes on. I'm just saying, this is my...
Of organized religion.
Of organized religion. Yeah. So, I mean, because maybe that is that, that seems like that's the exploding, if you will. I can't get the words out today. Exploding... That's what the article had said. So I don't know if you think that makes them a less of a religious person if they're not going to a church to pray.
So they can just say, "Well, I'm religious. I just don't partake in organized religion."
I guess.
But I don't know what this whole spiritual thing. Spiritual.
Well, I think spiritual is sort of akin to a religion. I guess maybe you're spiritual. You don't go to pray necessarily, or you don't go to.
Well, then you're not religious.
Well, if you believe in God, though, are you still are you religious then? If you don't go to a church and pray,
a person could believe in God. Sure, yeah. You can go. You can believe in God and not go to church.
Yeah,
you right. I mean,
I guess. But does that make you religious? That's an interesting question.
I don't know.
Boy,
I should have asked that question.
Well, no, but then the thing is, too. Do you think people who are religious and do go to church, do you think that they, in a way? And look down on is the wrong word, but do you think that they look at the people who just consider themselves spiritual and believe in God? Do you think they look at them, you're not really putting the work in that I am?
Or, you know, listen, there's people who go to church religiously, no pun intended, religiously, every week. They don't miss a week at all. They go for that full hour and they partake in it. And then as soon as they're out, they go and live very sinful lives. Listen, I know we all sin here, but then there's people who may not necessarily go to church every week, and they live a pretty virtuous life. You know, they're good, decent people. You know,
And then there are also the people who believe firmly that if you don't believe in specific areas of religion, you can't get in. Like if you don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you don't believe the Bible, you're not getting in. Even if you're a great human being, you're not getting in. You're knocking on the door. Can I come in? Nope.
But you know, when people realize that they're passing away, all of a sudden they find Jesus. It's like people go to jail. Like Jesus must live in the prison system because they always have these come to Jesus moments. I found God in prison. Yeah. Okay, that's where he is.
Interesting.
Well, it also helps you get out of your cell to go to Mass if you're in prison. A little extra time outside. So it's amazing how often they find Jesus in jail.
Do they have churches inside
prisons? There's a chapel, and you'll get to leave your cell when you wouldn't normally be able to, so you can go to church.
Now, where did you find this cell?
I was actually reading up
on... Is this back in the days when you were doing time?
Yeah. I don't know if you saw, you guys, in New York State, there are prisoners that are suing because they won't get to see...
They can't go to church. They won't let them go to church.
No, they can't see the eclipse next week, and they're saying it violates their religious freedoms. And my thought is, you're in jail, so you obviously didn't pay attention to your religion's parameters about crime.
Well, here's my question. What's the correlation between religion and seeing the eclipse?
It's some kind of maybe pagan thing, I would think. I don't know. I saw that same story, too. I say let him out without sunglasses. That's what I say.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Tell him to look into the sun.
Roll the dice, kid. There you go. Knock yourself out.
Oh, my goodness.
That's great.
Why not? I'm with you.
Are you a religious man?
I wouldn't consider myself religious. I do believe in God. I think, you know, I do want to do a whole like week of shows on this because I think it's so interesting.
You
to
just
talk
missed
about
Holy
this.
Week, man. This would have been last week would have been your week to do it.
Right. Well, yeah, you're probably right about that. Maybe I should have rethought that. I guess I'll wait till next year.
Okay.
No, but I think this is a very interesting topic that everybody has an opinion on, right? And nobody really knows the answer, Gary. We all think we know the answer, and some people are very this is the other side of this too. I always say this. I'll say it to you. I am so moved by the people who wholeheartedly believe in either Jesus, God, afterlife. Like, they are convinced. There's no way you can get them to waver a buckle at all. I'm always in awe of those
Do you
people.
Need to see in order to believe, though?
I mean, I think that things could happen, that not necessarily me seeing the face of God, for me to believe that there's an afterlife. I believe that there's something that had to happen to initiate all this. Like there's some greater power. We'll call it, if you want to call it God sitting on a throne, let's do that. It's fine. Does that necessarily mean that we're guaranteed life after death? I don't know. That to me is a big question.
Growing up, did you attend church? Did you get... confirmation? Did
yes.
you take communion? You went through.
I did communion.
Of...
No,
you went
I
to
did
catechism?
Communion.
Did you go? To...
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I learned my prayers.
Yes.
And then,
and
about age 10, you know, my mom stopped really dragging me to the church and let me make that decision. Not
10,
that
10, huh? 10.
I forget how old I was. I know I made the communion with my. You know,
I was an altar boy.
You were, and so you were involved till what age?
For 1 year, I was. No. I was like. Maybe 10 years old, 9 or 10. It only lasted 1 year. What happened was I was spreading myself thin here. At 9, 10 years old, I was in Little League. I was in Cub Scouts. I was an altar boy, and I wasn't doing well in school. So, you know, something had to give, and guess which one? I'm well, I'm not giving up Little League. So we gave up the altar boy, and then I gave up the Scouts, I think, shortly thereafter, and I kept the baseball.
That's good. Well, you know, that's good. It's still good that you did that. I mean, I don't know what it would be like. I mean, what was it like being an altar boy?
Well, I'll tell you a short story. I used to do the 5 o'clock mass, and I used to ring the bell, and I knew my marks, you know. And then I had to fill in for somebody on a Sunday morning, and I didn't know their spot. You got to hit your spots, hit your marks. I had to do mine, the one I was normally used to, and with the bell and everything. And then I had to hold the Bible, and I had to do both. And I ended up spilling Father's wine all over him. And and he just like the pro he was, you know, he just continued on with the. Of course, everybody saw this. He continued, and then afterwards, you know, we'd go into the the rectory or something, and then. He just lost it. he laughed hysterically and was like, oh, my God, you have no idea what I had to go through to bite my tongue to not, you know, crack right. up. And here I am nervous, like, all sure. right, this is when I'm going to get it now. 50 lashes, right? But no, just the opposite. Very down-to-earth and hip priests, you
yeah.
know.
Well, that's pretty good then. That's good. So you got a good experience out of it. No negative.
No. Actually, you know, we just had, I just interviewed, I do this every year, Bishop Leonard Blair. I 3 years in a row, I've interviewed the guy. Just a couple weeks ago, too.
And he's the bishop of what? I don't know.
Well, he's archbishop in, you know, for churches.
Connecticut?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or one of them. Yeah,
that's
actually,
cool.
But he's retired. He's, I guess there's a rule or a law, maybe. When you're 75,
yeah.
you have to give that up. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no questions. You can't talk your way into staying. It's just, it's part of their, you know, rules. So he is stepping down because of age, 70, 75,
yep.
and he will become emeritus. And he'll still be involved, but he's yielding his duties.
So what did you, when you talk to him, what are you talking about?
You know, I got to tell you, he's a pretty down-to-earth guy, too. We would, yeah. I mean, even off air, we're laughing and so on and so forth. We're talking about lack of attendance in churches and why that
right.
is.
Yeah.
People leaving the church. And there's not one reason. There's various reasons, you know.
Yeah.
And we talked about spirituality. We talked about religion, you know, of course. You know, what the Easter, of course, means.
Yep.
And the whole story behind that.
Right. That's interesting.
They're very well aware. You know, it's not like, oh, we can't talk about this. You know, he understands that, you know, the issues that the Catholic Church has had, and it's left
right.
a black eye on it, and consequently, people have left, you know. But yeah. that's not the only reason, you know.
It's
we live in more of a secular nation than any time in history.
Do you feel better leaving church, like going to church? You go to church how many times a year now?
Oh, don't ask me that question.
Okay, two?
That's
okay.
Minimum two.
Okay, but do you feel like...
I don't
go
weekly, no.
Okay, no, okay. So, but what I'm saying is sometimes, like, let's say I'm going to a funeral or something else or whatever, and I'll go usually for Christmas Eve, things like that, so I don't go nearly as much as I should.
Does a funeral count?
I don't know if it counts, but I'm just saying when I'm in there, though, sometimes there's I talked about this today. Sometimes I feel a direct connection. Like, I really feel better walking out of there, or, you know, there's some kind of an uplifting moment.
You did a good thing. Well, that's good.
Not necessarily that, but it's like a connection to what they're trying to accomplish.
Well, then they did. That's their goal.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Lee. You don't need to go to church in order to have a relationship with God.
Exactly. That was the point I was talking about early. Right? You don't have to go to church. People are not necessarily going to church, but they still feel like they have a connection.
Well, and people always reach out to him when something bad happens or they're having a sad time. Why don't you reach out to him when you're having a great day?
I agree. Or just, you know, point to the sky and say, hey, I'm thinking about you. What do you think about that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Hey, I think he'd like to hear from you.
Probably would. I agree. What do you got the rest of the show? What's up?
Oh, you know who we have next hour? Liz Karantowicz.
Oh, yeah, I'm a fan. We had her on yesterday.
Yeah,
we
always get her on the first Wednesday of the month. Yeah. But you know who we didn't have today? You're going to have him on Friday.
Golly.
Yeah.
I know.
He's flying. He's in the plane. Well, maybe right now he might be landed by now. He was in Florida visiting his parents for Easter. Yeah.
Living the dream. That's, you know, jet setting around all over the place.
Yeah, his life, man. Living in Manhattan and jet setting around.
Yeah, he's got it all going on.
Must be nice. Makes me think maybe I need a vacation.
Sure. I mean, don't you have a couple, 3, 4, 5 weeks coming?
Sure.
Something like
Ask
that.
Ask me where I'm going.
Where are you going?
Nowhere.
Church?
I'm going to wait till the end of the year. Yeah, I'm going to church in Florida. I'm going to wait till the end of the year and take all the Mondays off.
There you go. That's a good idea. All right. Have a good show, guys.
All right, brother. We'll talk
next
week.
You got it.
It's Lee Elsie from our sister station down along the shorelines, 94.9 News Now. And you know what? When you lose our signal down Route 2 or Route 9 or on the 95 corridor, you can tune him on. Of course, we'd rather keep you by you downloading our app.
Number one for breaking news for Vernon, Farmington, and South Windsor. The Talk of Connecticut. AM 1360 and FM 103.3.
We were talking a lot this morning about voter turnout this morning and some of the bills that are before the legislature right now. Some of these are just, you know, some of them are typical. It's like, oh, I remember that bill. That's not going anywhere. It didn't go anywhere 5 years ago or 6 years ago. It ain't going anywhere now. And there's others where it's like, oh, my goodness. Holy smokes. I knew the Connecticut Democrats were far left. But, I mean, whoa, this is extreme. And there's a word that, what, Democrats like to use when describing Republicans, right? Extreme. Well, they should know. I mean, I mean, you want to talk about, you think the Republicans, I heard this 4 years ago. Well, the Republicans have gone too extreme. They've gone too far right. I don't know what that means. It's the same Constitution. So maybe we've gotten off track with it and we're trying to get it back on. Just constitutional law. You know, I don't know if that is deemed far right, but I can tell you, you want to talk about extremes. Well, they should know what extremes are, you know, those in glass houses, as they say. They should look in the mirror and point the finger at themselves. I think the left have gotten, I think they're not even extreme. They're off the rails with some of these bills that I've been reading lately. Good morning. It's Gary Byron, 9/11 here. On this hump day, so glad to have you on board the old morning train. Our next guest into the Daily Connerton Memorial Company interview chair. She knows what I'm talking about. She joins us the first Wednesday of every month. She is a campaign strategist and a political analyst. You can see her every Sunday morning on Capitol Report, which is on News Channel 8. I think it's a public affairs Sunday morning show. Chris Dudchick, right? Is that his name? Who's the guy that hosts that show?
Yep.
Is it Dudchick? Yeah. All right, let's welcome back to the show Liz Karantowicz. Liz, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh,
happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. By the way, it's Easter. It's not, transgender day of visibility. You know, maybe next year, Christian day of visibility. Let's do that. We were talking about that this morning a while ago, too, with Lee Elsie. Christian Day of Visibility. I think that's got a nice ring to it. Or maybe that should be every day. I don't know. So how you been, Liz?
I'm doing all right, thank you. How are you? This gloomy, rainy...
Oh, man, that's like... I know.
Wednesday.
It's been gloomy, you know, I know, a lot this spring.
Did we move to Seattle? I mean...
Right? I couldn't imagine living gloomy. There. The suicide rate in Washington State, I hear, is some of the largest in the entire United States. And I can understand why.
Oh, that's depressing.
All right? That's exactly it. Oh, my goodness. I feel like I haven't spoken to you in ages. So
I know.
Catch
I
me
know.
Up.
I'm
there's,
busy.
There's a few issues I want to go over with you this morning, but catch
yeah.
me up as far as what you've been working on and what you've been doing.
Plugging along, man. I'm very lucky to, you know, be able to... continue running my business and showing up on Tom's show and talking to you and talking to Lee Elsie and being a mom,
I'm here every morning for you.
Thank God.
Thank you. Listen, someone's got to do it. And, you know, this is not a shot against, other political talk radio hosts on whatever station that people frequent. But the angle is a little bit different here because, listen, I mean, you, especially when it comes to state government, you're not going to pull the wool over my eyes. I mean, it's just...
You were there.
Thank you.
You know exactly the kind of stuff that goes on. So it is a very unique and important perspective that you bring to the table, especially when we're talking about some of the dirty tricks that happen at the end of a legislative session, the rats and all those wonderful things. So,
I appreciate that. You know,
I'm very lucky to have you talking about
it. Thank you. That means a lot to me, Liz. And I remember you from being up at the Capitol. Here's the thing. You know, I love the talk of Connecticut, but I'll listen to other stations as well and see who's out there. It's, you know, you always got to be aware of your competition. You can't be the CEO of McDonald's and not know what Burger King and Wendy's are doing, right? I mean,
True. That's
right. So any business, you should be aware of your competition because they're aware of you. So if you're not aware of them and what they're doing and so on and so forth, shame on you. Anyhow, so I'll scan the dials. And some people I like and others I think are lacking and others I think are doing a great job. But the thing is I've heard like Democrat guests. Let me correct myself. Democrat-elected officials as guests. All right. They're not just the rank-and-file voter. But, you know, they hold office, state senator, state representative, so on and so forth. And they'll do such a spin, and they're fantastic. They're not even just good at it, Liz. They're fantastic at it. That sadly, and even though I like the host, you know, let's say, or have no opinion of the host, I'm sitting there going, ask them this, ask them that, you know, here's a great follow-up because they're BSing you right now. And I know they are. And they're giving you double speak. And that's actually not how it is up there. That's not how it goes. But they know that you don't know that. So you don't know what you don't know. So they don't know enough to ask that follow-up question. So I sit there and say, hey, sometimes it gets frustrating. Because
but it makes you better, right? Number one, because you're acutely aware of the things that they're not asking and that you can do differently. And two, like I said, you're the only one that's actually been there in the belly of the beast, in the middle of these fights. And you have that perspective to make those conversations much more meaningful to your listeners.
Well, I appreciate that, I wasn't even trying to go there. My point was that it's misinforming the public, and hence the reason why Democrats keep getting reelected. It's like, oh my goodness, I know that's not true. I know it definitively, 100% with every ounce, every fiber of my being. And the host, I can't blame him or her. They don't know what they don't know. And the listening audience, I can imagine, is just buying it hook, line, and sinker. And I'm like, oh, that frustrates me. Anyhow, I'm digressing here. Did you hear about this? Speaking of Democrat legislators, that they've written a letter to Biden and some of the congressional delegation calling for like a ceasefire in Israel and Gaza.
Yes, an unconditional ceasefire. Yeah. And they have the decency to at least say that the hostages should be protected and released, but it wasn't their demand was not a condition. That was not a condition on their demand for a ceasefire. And they equivocate the hostages that were taken on October 7th by the brutal attack by Hamas with the terrorists who have been arrested as prisoners of war by Israel. There's a big difference between innocent people who were literally asleep in their beds in Israel on October 7th that were brutally attacked by these terrorists and taken hostage, and prisoners of war who have been detained in furtherance of those terrorist attacks. So to equivocate between those two is absolutely bananas to me. And to not demand Hamas surrender?
Yeah.
Like there's no acknowledgement that there was a ceasefire before October 7th?
Well, to your point, though, Liz, I mean, the Israelis didn't draw first blood. Like you said, they were asleep in their bed, going about their normal day, and so on. And do you not have a right to defend yourself? I mean, if somebody attacks you and they initiate it, you're just going about your day. You mean to tell me you can't defend yourself? I mean, and then when you do,
what they're insinuating, right? I mean, and to demand a ceasefire without any condition is, given the circumstances, I mean, I think we all want a ceasefire. If Hamas surrenders and returns the hostages, this is over. They have had so many offers and opportunities to do that, and they have rebuffed each and every one of them, with the exception of one brief period, which they broke again. So to me, you know, for this to creep its way into state legislative politics is very curious. And you know, look, we're seeing what this fracture is doing within the Democrat Party. Presidential preference primary was yesterday. And the effort nationwide to undermine Joe Biden, driven mostly by the anti-Israeli ceasefire crowd, has been significant. I mean, in Connecticut, deep blue Connecticut, he's got 11.5% of the vote in the Democrat preference primary is going for uncommitted over Joe Biden. That's a significant amount. There was no primary run in that party. Are we going to look at a Democrat party that is so fractured going into the general election? You know, that I think is going to be something to look at, because in other states across the country, the uncommitted movement has gained significant ground, 20%, and even has delegates allocated to it. So, very interesting to see how that plays out. And so you see that happening and taking shape here at the legislative level. And how will that impact some of the state races? I don't know.
All right. Stay right there. I'm going to piggyback on that and give you a couple of stats from yesterday's primary just here in Connecticut. More with Liz Karantowicz right after this.
No one ever likes calling their insurance company. It usually means there's a problem. And when there's a problem, you don't want to talk to a stranger. You want your agent, the agent who knows you. That's Michael Van Otterkirk and his staff at State Farm of Newington. State Farm has been the number one auto insurer in the U.S. every year since 1946. So when a problem arises, you'll be relieved to call State Farm of Newington, 860-666-1037. Because like a good neighbor, State Farm of Newington is there.
Yankee Peddler and Pawn in East Hartford is Connecticut's premier pawn shop, paying you top dollar whether you are pawning or selling your items. It's also your first choice to find great deals on used items. Yankee Peddler and Pawn has everything from gold and silver jewelry to electronics, power tools, some musical instruments, and so much more. With nearly 200 five-star Google reviews, customer service is always their number one priority. Go see Joe at Yankee Peddler and Pawn at 7 Pitkin Street in East Hartford and tell them Gary sent you.
Never a dull moment. The Talk in Connecticut, 103.3 and 104.5, wants your opinion. Call 860-243-1360.
23 minutes after the hour of 9, our guest is a campaign strategist and political analyst, Liz Karantowicz, who joins us usually the first Wednesday of every month. Liz, I looked at some of the percentages from yesterday's primary here in Connecticut. And it's interesting that uncommitted receives such a high percentage. Usually if you're uncommitted, you're just not just going to go to the poll. You're going to the poll. You're putting an effort to go to the polls to vote for uncommitted. But that notwithstanding, Joe Biden got about almost 85% of the Democrats that voted for him and the remaining 15% approximately uncommitted. Donald Trump, close to 78%. So it was like 77.8. So we'll just call that 78% voted for him. And 23% uncommitted. And that's look, we're a blue state. You and I both know that. What do you think Trump has to do strategically the unaffiliateds and the independents couldn't vote yesterday. Only those right. Republican registered as Republican or Democrat could vote yesterday. But what do you think Trump needs to do to win over those uncommitteds, those soft Democrats, and both the independents and unaffiliateds for the general?
Look, I think the big thing is to talk about what's impacting people in their everyday life, and that's what every candidate for office has to be doing. I think that one of the issues that we see constantly, especially from Democrats, is to scream at people about how great things are and how how good things are going and Bidenomics is working, and a lot of the hyperbole that goes into these campaigns. And I think the reality is that the struggles people are having every single day are what they're going to be making their decision about for whom they'll vote in November. And, I think that you have to be able to look at the voter and say, I hear you, I care about your issues, and I'm going to do something about it. And if you're going to instead look at the voters, which is what Joe Biden and the Democrats are doing, and say, everything is great, you want more of this, And if you take a step back, I don't know that there are many people, even Democrats, obviously, who look around and go, yeah, I want more of this in their life. And it really goes down to, you know, Maslow's law, right? The hierarchy of needs. And people are struggling. And you can yell at people and tell them, here are the stats, and everything is better, and everything is going great, and, you know, whatever. But if they don't feel that, if they're concerned that their tomorrows are not as good as their yesterdays, then you have a problem.
I think,
in Connecticut, the presidential election in Connecticut is not a factor, right? In terms of they're not going to come and campaign here. This is not a swing state. This is the way our country operates. There are half a dozen states that have a big impact in how our presidential elections go. And so that's where the lion's share of the effort is going to go. I think in Connecticut, it's not going to be much of a factor, but nationally, that is the path to victory, right? Is talking to Americans who are hearing from the Biden administration, gee, aren't we great? And they don't see that greatness in their own life, right? They're struggling to pay their rent. They're struggling to put gas in their car. They're struggling to put food on the table. And if you just keep yelling at them that everything is great, whoever is in charge, they're not going to buy it.
You know, there's a Wall Street Journal article that just came out talking about Trump leading Biden in 6 of the 7 swing states. And that could be the reason why, what you just said, Liz, where if Biden came out and said, listen, the buck stops with me, I'm the one here at the helm, and I've got a solution for this. I will begin implementing it, and this is what I'm asking Congress to do. And we're going to, I think more of his base, more of his supporters would probably be more apt to vote for him. But the fact that his head is so buried in the sand by saying, no, we've got one of the strongest economies we've ever had. Unemployment is down and inflation is coming down. It shows how out of touch he is. I don't know when the last time he was ever in a grocery store. Granted, he's a president of the United States, so that could be said, I guess, realistically for any president, you know, but it just shows me how out of touch that he is. I only have 1 minute left. It's all yours. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I think that if you're running a campaign based off the talking points and the stats that your economists and the white papers and all of the think tanks are giving you, and you're not talking about things that resonate with people who are having to try and get through life, and they're struggling to put food on the table, they don't think their kids are going to be better off than they were, right? That's what you're going to lose. And I know that Democrats are very frustrated by the fact that Donald Trump is leading in the polls in these swing states, but they're doing nothing to course correct. You can't blame Donald Trump for having a more emotionally resonant conversation with the voters than your incumbent president. There's no secret sauce here.
No.
One of them is yelling at people, telling them everything is great. The other one is yelling at people, telling them, I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to do something about it.
But even if you don't listen to either one of them, we're living it. So therefore, right, we already know what we're living through.
You
Liz,
don't talk down to people. If you learn anything from the Clinton campaign,
I gotta
don't
let you
talk
go.
Down to people.
You're absolutely right. Liz, we'll talk next month. Open Fox phones
News,
are next.
I'm Therese Crowley. Twin perils in Taiwan. Scores of people trapped in tunnels.